You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, mighty men, women of God. We thank God for you listening in. This is Kingdom Sounds, a radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise. You're listening to Thomas Robinson, and I have an awesome man of God. Praise God. I call him, Alex, but, that's just,
that's my middle name.
We run like that. But praise God. He's a minister of the Lord. Praise God. Awesome musician. Amen. And God is using him, and we just thank God for what he has put in him. Well, we're going to jump right into the world. Let me just give a shout-out to my wonderful wife of 33-plus years. Amen. My boo, my honey bun, my sugar cube. Glory to God. Teresa Robinson. I'm putting it on thick there. My birthday is coming up. Y'all don't understand. My birthday is coming up on the 6th. So, I got to put it out there real good, The 25th? Okay. All right. That's all right. We're going to talk afterwards. All right, and so, without further delay, amen. How you doing, man of God? You want to introduce yourself? We thank God also for Brother Danny, who's in here, amen.
Yes.
We thank God for what he's doing concerning this radio station, how it reaches throughout the entire county, Brevard County, and we thank God for you people listening in. We don't take it for granted, amen. When people come and approach me and say, we listen to your broadcast, it's a blessing to hear that. Go ahead, man of
okay.
God.
Okay. We're going to pick up where we left off, because the last thing I said was that book that I read from John Avezzini. It's called Unanswered Prayers Answered. And in the foreword, and the funny thing is that all I had to read was the foreword, because I was so hit by what he said. God just said, okay, and I put that book down, then let's get to the word. But John Avezzini was talking about scandals in the church, talking about all the scandals that happened in the 80s. We know what they are. The Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, PTL, just all of that stuff. And then John says, But the biggest scandal in the church is far worse. The biggest scandal in the church is not when the pastor commits adultery on his wife. The biggest scandal in the church is not when the associate pastors and the deacons come together and split the church. The biggest scandal in the church is not when the trustees take the money and run, as the song says. He said the biggest scandal in the church is when a Christian prays and nothing happens. That just kind of hits you when you stop and think about it. The biggest scandal in the church is when a Christian prays and nothing happens. And I was just struck by that.
Go ahead. I wanted to jump in there. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. Ask a question.
I wanted to just talk about when Christ would go places, how people would be healed. But go ahead. I want you to finish that up.
Yeah. The biggest scandal in the church is when a Christian prays and nothing happens. And then when I was hit with that, the Lord just said, let's go to John 15. And so that's where we're going. John chapter 15. We'll start at verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, the word abide means to live in. If anyone who does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But then he says this, verse 7, if you live in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Then he says, why? The next verse, by this. What is the this? Abide in me, I abide in you, ask what you desire, and it's done. He says, by this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The Father, okay, going back to the now message, our mind being renewed, this is where we have to let the Word of God challenge how we think. The Father is not glorified by you praying, nothing happening, and then waiting with a smile for something to happen. God's not glorified by that. And I'm going to say it again. Our Heavenly Father the one who sent his son to die for us, to suffer for us, to bleed for us, to go to hell for us, to rise from the dead for us, is not glorified when we pray and nothing happens. Okay? This is something that God told me a while back. He said, the Father did not send his son into the earth to teach us how to suffer with a smile. He sent his son into the earth to end our suffering. And if you take a look at Jesus' ministry, that's literally all he did. Everywhere Jesus went, he ended people's suffering. Every person, if they were standing in front of you right now, they will look you in the eye and they will say, I can take you to the spot where Jesus came into my life and my suffering was over. Every last one of them can say that. But religious tradition, you know, you and I were talking, you know, about how religious devils, my spiritual papa calls them Sunday morning devils. But he said, religion has conditioned us and warped our thinking so much that the supernatural is not expected. It's also the supernatural power of God is hated and persecuted. And the reason why is because when Jesus brought the kingdom, when Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled, the rest of his ministry was doing stuff now. Mm-hmm. Because the now message and the supernatural power backing it up is proof that the kingdom has come. Okay? God had been promising for almost 4,000 years that he was going to send someone to reset everything back to the garden. So when Jesus came, there's no more need to wait. It's now time to start resetting stuff. So everywhere Jesus went, the power of God was in manifestation. And the only people who persecuted the power of God in manifestation were religious folks. The religious establishment. Because power, here we go, power exposes religion as fake, as weak, and as a lie. Check this out. This is something to think about. Not yet. We'll talk about that in a second. I was about to talk about John chapter 10, verse 10. But anyway, the greatest scandal in the church is when Christians pray nothing happens.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Because, you know, sometimes we could be waiting because what we're praying don't line up with the will of God.
Absolutely.
And his will supersedes our will.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that God don't want to do it. Now, sometimes we need to find out what God wants to do.
Yes.
You know, make sure that we're not bucking and kicking against, you know, his agenda. Because, you know, we know that it's God's will to heal. When you look in the Bible, you'll see that there were places where Christ went. And let me say this here. The Bible says that all would be healed. Come on. But as a matter of fact, one passage of scripture, everybody that touched the hem of his garment was healed.
Jesus healed them all.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He healed them all.
Let me say this here. Jesus was not even asking the questions, you know, we see that, you know, okay. Jesus wasn't trying to find out who was doing the right thing and who wasn't doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some things that God does just because he's a good God. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the Bible says healing is the children's bread. Oh, glory to God. These were the children of God. You better believe you had some good and bad. Come on.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, glory to God. When you look at the man at the pool of Bethesda, when you keep reading on down, the Bible says that the Lord healed him. And then the Lord told him after he healed him, he said, go and sin no more. You know, or a greater thing will come upon you. So guess what? Yeah, he was a sin. I've seen people that are sinners get healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flat out sinners, unborn again. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Because that ought to mess up some of your theory. Because, you know, as a matter of fact, there was a person one day, and I said, well, we're going to pray for your son that God does this and this. And she said, well, he's not saved. And I said, well, read your Bible. Read the books of the gospel. Was anybody saved?
None of them were saved yet.
None of them were saved.
Nobody got saved in the book of Acts. Yeah.
Because I preached a message a while back, stop making healing hard.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. Because some things God will do, you know, it's the Bible says it's the goodness of God that draws men unto repentance. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That causes men. These people begin to follow not only because of the word, come on, but they begin to follow because of the example and the manifestation and the power of God that was in operation also. It was the word, it was the truth, and then it was backed up by power. What am I saying? What he was saying a little while ago is that religion fights against the power of God and the manifestation of the power of God. When you see ministries that are constantly fighting, come on, okay, when you see ministries that are fighting the power gifts, that, you know, I believe in the fivefold ministry. You have the apostle and the prophet. They are the power gifts. Everybody can operate in the power of God, but these offices walk in unique and unusual power, the gift of faith. I mean, you know, and so guess what? But you'll see the body of Christ, come on, you'll see a lot of people in the body ignorantly fighting against these gifts. Come on, you'll see people that say that they love the Lord, they believe in God, they're reading the same Bible that you believe, but they don't believe in healing. Come on, mm-hmm. Oh glory to God. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. Come on, that's one of the manifestations of the power of God. He says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Come on, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in the back of the locker room and began to speak with tongues. Come on, and guess what? I don't remember hearing not one message in a conservative church about this type of thing, and so I realized that information was withheld from me. The Bible says we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, not knowing God. Some people reject knowledge. Some people, he said, you have rejected knowledge. You got churches that are rejecting the knowledge of this. And this is why when you go to the book of Hosea, and I want one more minute, I'm turning it back over to the man of God. This is why when you go to the book of Hosea, the children of Israel were saying, "But God, we know you." Come on. But when you go to Hosea chapter 4, God says, "There's no knowledge of me in the land." In other words, God was saying, "You don't know me." Come on. Oh, glory to God. And this is why when you go down a little bit further in chapter 4, he says, "You are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge, or you have rejected." So in other words, we're rejecting knowledge. We're walking around talking about we know God, and God is saying, "You don't know me." Now, who's lying? Either God's lying or man's lying. And so I want to say that a lot of people need to just shut up and stop saying, "I know God." You can't even quote two verses of scripture, but you're always walking around talking about, "I know God." Well, God is saying, if God was telling the people of Israel they don't know him, hallelujah, and they had all these laws, and I'm sure they could quote, you know, things from the Bible, and here we are. Okay, all right. I won't even go all into that. But no. Go ahead, man. It's
yeah.
Not gonna take too long.
Yeah, you're right. Because see, because what that is, going back to what we talked about yesterday, that's people being triggered. That stronghold, that pattern of thinking that has them convinced that they know God already, yeah. and nothing you say, because basically you're coming at them with something they've never heard,
yeah.
And so rather than open their hearts and minds to hear something different, because remember, okay, you talk about it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance,
right?
Okay, see, we don't understand what repent means. The word repent does not mean to stop sinning,
right?
Okay, if you look up the word repent in the Greek, it means one thing. It means to reconsider and to think again,
right?
Okay, so when John the Baptist came telling people, "Repent because the kingdom of God is at hand," he was saying, reconsider how you think, because the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. Hmm. Then Jesus comes along saying, "Repent because the kingdom of God is here."
That's
good. So whatever you believed about God, whatever you think you know about God, reconsider it, because what you're getting ready to see is going to challenge everything that you believe.
Ooh, yes.
And so
it did.
and you could tell, you see, you can tell how religious devils work, because like you said, religious devils always persecute power.
Yeah.
Because when the power of God is seen, the first thing people realize is that, but wait a minute, I thought you said you, so why is nothing happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so once again, in order to repent, the goodness of God leads men to repent. The goodness of God leads men to reconsider and to think
repent
again.
Repent makes capacity or room.
Yes.
See.
Yes. Absolutely.
But, you know, sometimes we don't have the capacity to receive truth. And
right.
So, God, I repent. Come on.
You know,
because repentance, you know, even at the very beginning of your walk, this is why the Lord came saying, repent. I think you quoted it earlier. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, because there has to be an initial activation.
Yes.
You know, where you're repenting and then you asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and be Lord and Savior. You're believing the word,
mm-hmm.
you're repenting, and then you're asking Jesus Christ, because there has to be capacity, because he says, "Me and my Father will come and we will sup in you. We will dwell
yes,
in you."
Yes.
But you got to make room for God. We don't understand sometimes that your spirit has a vast capacity. Come on.
Yeah.
You had a man that was running around the tombs, and And the Bible says that he had a legion worth of demons on the inside of him. Now look at the capacity of your spirit. Come on. Oh, glory to God. My God, what can dwell in a person's spirit?
A Roman legion is 2,000 soldiers.
Woo-wee. I thought it was more than that. Well, thank you.
Between two and six.
Yeah. Okay. And so
it's still more than one.
Yeah. And so you got to make room. The wonderful thing about God is that he dwells outside of the universe. He measured the universe in the span of his hand. But guess what? God can still come and dwell in your spirit. When you're born again, it's the spirit of God. See, because when you're born spiritually dead. Yes, you have a spirit, but it's a separation. It's been separated from God. And so what happens is that when you are born again, the spirit of God now comes and dwells in your spirit. The spirit of God communicates to your spirit. Your spirit communicates to your soulless man, and your soulless man, you know, is supposed to drive this flesh. But a lot of us aren't led by the spirit of God. Come on, we're led flesh driven. Okay, all right, go ahead, man.
Actually, you're right in line with what I was going to say. But I said, oh, wait a minute, you know, we're flesh driven because we refuse to allow the word to hit this. Yeah. Because the only way, we've been preaching repent, repent, repent for years, and we think we just gonna keep preaching repentance, and we're thinking telling people stop shacking up, stop stealing, stop lying, stop cussing is preaching repentance. Mm-hmm. No, you're telling people use your willpower to stop doing things that are not right. Mm-hmm. That's not repentance. Repentance is rethinking.
Right.
In other words, allowing the word of God to challenge how you think, because if you can let the word change how you think, the actions are automatic. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is a perfect example. John 10:10. You know, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many times have we heard that the thief is the devil? Jesus wasn't talking about the devil. He was talking about preachers. He was talking about ministry. If you start in John chapter 8 and read all, see, because first thing is that we think that because the Bible is broken down into chapters, we think that as soon as we get to the end of a chapter and a new one starts, we think the context is changing. No. If you start in John chapter 8, read it all the way through, mm-hmm. go to John chapter 9 and read it all the way through, and then go to John chapter 10, he wasn't talking about the devil at all. Because first of all, these people, human back, they were spiritually dead. They had no concept of the spiritual kingdom. They had no concept of light and darkness like that. Jesus was talking about ministers. Jesus was saying, if you had come to me and told me you were blind, I would have opened your eyes. But you say you see, therefore your blindness remains. If you had come to me and said, I'm dead, I'm filthy, cleanse me, he said, I would have cleansed you. But because you say you're clean, your sin remains. Mm-hmm. Then he's preaching
better than the choir. Yeah. Saying amen, because sometimes we don't realize we go through all of that, and we're just, you know, and it's unfortunate because it's almost like we go up and we join a club.
Yeah.
You know, there's no initial activation, and then we're repenting of a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you know, you weren't activated, you know, I believe sometimes we pick up a real, okay, all right, I won't even say that then. But let me say this here. What you're saying is powerful, because when we renew our minds, our minds will agree. And I could go over to the book of Acts and just show you in a figurative type of how when Paul was involved in a shipwreck, and how Paul represented the spirit man. Well, anyways, I won't go all into that. Mm-hmm. But anyways, and so what you have, because the spirit man is always going to agree. I mean, a renewed mind will agree with what with God is saying with
yes.
the spirit.
Yes.
So that's why it's important to renew your mind, because the flesh ain't going to agree.
No.
The flesh is going to be like, no, I ain't seeing this. I don't feel mm-hmm. this. I go by the six senses. And so guess what? This can't happen. This is impossible mm-hmm. to me. And so when you have, and so because sometimes we don't understand when the Lord says, well, two or more are in agreement, he's in the midst. Well, two or more, guess what? If my soulless man, because we're so busy always looking outside of ourselves, but if I can get my soulless man, which is my mind, my renewed mind, to agree with my spirit man, that is two agreeing on the earth. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory to God. And guess what? God is in the midst. He's in the midst to do that thing. Come on. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. You're looking at the power of a three-fold cord. Come on.
don't start talking about no three-fold cords.
Come on,
somebody.
Oh, my fault. Woo! Yeah, so you look. So what am I saying? I'm saying that, guess what? I'm saying that, you know, so when we look at this and the Bible says two are in agreement, because we're always looking for another person to be in agreement with us, mm-hmm. and that's fine. You can look, because you can't knock one truth to present another truth. Come on. But, oh, glory to God. So it's fine to look for another person to be in agreement with you. I've called people and say, hey, be in agreement. One can make 1,000 flee. Two can make 10,000 flee. But let me show you something. Don't call me until you've made your 10,000 flee. Come on, because you have the ability. You have the ability with your renewed mind, oh, glory to God, agreeing with what the Spirit of God has spoken to your spirit, oh, glory to God. That's two in agreement. And guess what? God is in the midst to answer and to do what you're believing for God to do. And so I wanted you to take another look at that verse of Scripture, because sometimes we're saying, oh, we're two or more, and we think that we got to look to other people, oh, glory to God,
yeah.
Instead of looking to the God that is in us. Go ahead, man. Hopefully
yeah.
I explained that where people
yeah.
can understand.
Yeah, you did. You did. Well, I got you. I'll put it that way. Okay. Yeah. If you take a look at John chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10 and running together, Jesus was not talking about the devil. He was talking about ministries. He starts talking about, you know, blind leaders, blind guides. And then the Pharisees, so are you trying to say that we're blind? And then Jesus says this. He says, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. The sheep know my voice, and another stranger they will not follow. He said, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. What I do is I call the sheep. When the sheep hear my voice, the porter, in King James, says the porter opens the gate. When I call for the sheep hear my voice. The porter opens the gate, lets them in, and they come in and find pasture and find rest. He said, but there are those who came before me that wouldn't open the gate. He said, those are thieves and robbers. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life. The thief is the porter, the gatekeeper that wouldn't
right.
open the gate
right.
and allow the sheep to come in and find pasture. Take a look at that, and then go to Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus starts announcing those seven woes. The first thing he said is, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees,
yeah.
and hypocrites, yeah. because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You don't enter in, and when others try to enter in, you hinder them.
That's right.
Jesus was not talking about the devil.
Gatekeepers. I saw me in a vision one day about it. Gatekeepers, and we need to understand that there are gatekeepers in the Bible, and some of these gatekeepers are controlling the gate. You know, man of God, this morning I was discerning the fire of God. Oh, glory to God, the fire of God. And I do believe that God wants to heal. And there are people that are listening to us, and you have been waiting. Amen. You've been like the man beside the pool of Bethesda.
Yes.
Waiting for a long time. Amen. And I want to declare that you're healed by his stripes in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I declare that you're healed in Jesus' mighty name. I thank God for the manifestation in Jesus' name. Just receive it. Sometimes when something is declared, you got to open your mouth and say, I receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I receive it. Amen. You play a part in this thing also. Hallelujah. You know, and the reason why I say some things have to be said, because even when you look at the woman that was with the issue of blood, she didn't even say it out loud, but she said within herself. The Bible says that God is able to do abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. Can I tell you something? You limit God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no limit to God. Come on. The man of God has been talking about now faith. But see, there are times that we reason away truth within ourselves. We're just like the Pharisees and Sadducees that were around Jesus, and the Bible says that they reason away the truth. And you can sit there, even as I've declared that you're healed, and reason away the truth. I've been so bad. I've done this and I've done that. It was a whole lot of bad folks that got healed. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, as a matter of fact, in the Bible, they weren't even born again. They weren't even saved. But Jesus went around healing folks. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And so sometimes we've been indoctrinated. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You know, when people, you know, and sometimes people have been told that God's not doing certain things anymore. And you know what? Because they have believed that, because they've heard it so much, they don't see manifestation. Come on. It's like a wall. It's like a stronghold. It prevents them from receiving the healing of God. It prevents them from receiving truth. Come on. They don't have the capacity. capacity for truth. And so sometimes they got to empty themselves out. I dare you to try God. Come on. I dare you to try it. Man, you're looking at somebody that got children from a barren woman. You're looking at somebody that looked at x-rays with my son with water on his brains, but now he's the vice president, come on, of a bank. Come on. I dare you to try God. Those lying gatekeepers that have lied to you and told you that God is not healing now, that God don't want you to be healed, we cancel and denounce those words from over your life. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Well, there it is. Pop, pop, pop. I'm discerning God. My God, up in Zion. The reason why I go pop, 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 because things are being broken
off
right now.
Yeah, I feel that too. Feel that too.
Bye, bye, bye. Ooh, glory to God. My God, God is moving. Okay, we got 1 minute. We got to get off. We thank God for Danny. Come on, man. Lead somebody through the sinner's prayer this last 1 minute.
Okay, just know that God loves you. For Jesus said God loves the world so much that he gave his son. Jesus was given to us because God loves us so much. Because he's been given, that means anybody, anytime, anywhere can call on him. So let's do that right now. Just open your heart, open your mind, open your mouth and say, Lord God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you love me so much you sent your son to sacrifice his life for my sin so that I could be washed clean and be a part of your family. You came to make me your son. You came to make me your daughter. And I say yes. Yes, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Take me into your kingdom. I receive you right now. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for transforming me. Thank you for making me what I was originally made to be. Thank you. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. You're now in the hands of Brother Danny.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI 57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Our address is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
You're listening to WWBC, 99.9 FM Cocoa, 94.7 FM Rockledge, and 100.7 FM Melbourne, Palm Bay, and the Beaches.